Okay.
So you and I have been talking about doing this for a little while. What intrigued you about wanting to do it?
I think, you know, I don't meet enough people who geek out about action as much as you and some other people I've met. So, you know, I just really want to geek out about something I recently saw on Netflix, and just kind of like, yeah, just like share it with you, because I know you're not really, you're not into like the series as much as I am.
Well, this is the fifth film, isn't it? Fifth?
Yeah, it is. So, so the series I'm talking about is Rurouni Kenshin, which is a Japanese samurai anime live-action kind of adaptation. So the one I'm showing today is the latest film, Rurouni Kenshin, The Beginning, which is actually like a prequel. Technically, it's like the first movie, because it takes place like before the first movie does, but it's like, kind of like, they kind of ended on like a prequel, which is really weird. But yeah, so like basically the series is about like an assassin who has now like taken like a pledge of peace. Like, he doesn't kill anyone anymore. So basically like the sword he uses now is blunt. Like, it doesn't have any sharp, the sharp end is basically like reversed now, basically. So he basically like disables people with like blunt trauma, basically, using like just like the sheer force of like the blunt end of his sword.
Yeah, cool. And okay. Yeah, no, and the reason I wanted to do it was just to keep content going out there. I think I just, yeah, I really like geeking out about action films and films in general as well. So yeah, I think it's good to find someone, because I did ask a few people if they were keen to do a show together or whatnot. So it's not, I've asked you basically at the start, and I knew I was going to come full circle and get back with you anyway. But yeah, no, I think just, yeah, good to geek out about action, and I think just showcase or confirm some of the stuff that we've been talking about away from recordings and all that, how we geek out about storytelling and all these things. It'll be nice to see him like broken down and then actually talking about it live, because we might message and talk about shit between about scenes or films or whatnot, but it'll be nice to actually go over it live and go, geez, this is what we're actually talking about and blah, blah, blah. So
yeah,
I think that'll be really, really cool. And the scene I've chosen today is from The Rundown, or here in Australia it was called Welcome to the Jungle.
That's right, yeah.
The Rock and Sean William Scott. So I figured we'd start right at the beginning for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's cool. Did you want to give a quick breakdown of your history towards the filmmaking journey as well, or how you kind of got to where you are now? Because we're both at the same stage now, I guess. We're almost like producing partners, you could say.
Yeah.
But yeah, like how we got to this stage, or how you got to this stage.
Yeah, well, as I said on like your podcast that we did like last year, you know, like I've always kind of like been into like action movies. Like, it's always just been like, you know, that's been like my taste in like movies, basically. Like, it all started from like being a kid and watching like Face Off, and then it kind of like journeyed through. Like, I remember like some of the first things I put on camera with like a cell phone was like, it was after I saw like you know, Donnie and like Flashpoint, basically. Like, a lot of like really brutal kind of like, that's kind of like what I'm into. And so then it kind of like even went even like further when I saw like The Raid 2 when I was in like uni. Like, that was like a huge deal, because that was like on a whole nother level. And the director would give these like extensive like Q&As at like film festivals about like how he made it and all that kind of stuff. But being in Australia, you're just like, you know, I remember like being in uni telling my one of my tutors that I wanted to be like an action director, and they're just like, all right, keep dreaming, kid. They were just like, yeah, all right. Like, yeah, they were just like, oh yeah, that's not like really realistic in like Australia, which is, you know, to an extent kind of true. That didn't stop me though, because so basically after uni, like, you know, like, aside from like making like actually like stuff that like, you know, lines my pockets, like showreel scenes and like event videos and like just promotional content in general, like, I would like, if I saved up enough or if I got my boys on board, like, I would try and like shoot some kind of like an action film of some kind. And it's kind of slowly kind of like snowballed from there in terms of like the success that I've found, like in terms of like people like recognizing, oh yeah, like James, like I see you making like a lot of like action content. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's somewhat a part of my brand now. I'm hoping to like, you know, keep it that way.
Yeah, that's cool, man. And I think once people see Fracture, that'll be the real, like, that's a, yeah, you've opened that next chapter now in my eyes.
Or Wanderer.
Yeah, and Wanderer, if we ever get to bloody shoot that thing. That'd be good.
Yeah.
quick 30-second breakdown of me. I started on this entertainment journey in 2015. I started training to become a professional wrestler. A pro wrestling school opened up near me where I was living in Rosebud on the Mornington Peninsula, in Nightcap Wrestling Federation, NCWF. And then from there, I trained to be a wrestler for about 12 months. I trained up at Vicious Pursuit with Carlo Cannon and Ali Valles and a few different guys. Mina Gabrielle as well. I need to mention him. He was great. I got into acting over Star Now. I did Star Now projects for about 12 months before I got an agent and blah, blah, blah. booked heaps of commercials, did all that, booked a few bit parts. Decided I missed action. So I was trained to become a stuntman. So I thought that would help out with my action or leading man action roles to help get another foot in the door or, just have more skills in my tool belt. Since then I've not really done any stunts for the past 6 months or 12 months. I've kind of taken a step back and I'm really just focusing on acting now and filmmaking, producing, writing and working with James. I don't really plan to work with anyone else in the near future besides James, unless it's a professional gig or whatnot. Not that ours aren't professional, but unless it's a big sort of professional job. Then we're where we are now, I guess. So quick breakdown. I'm sure we'll get into it again in the future, but we've got a full podcast that we released last year. If you just want to listen to the full 90-minute story on James's background, let's get into the first scene.
Okay, my one, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, so we are doing one of the fight scenes from Rurouni Kenshin, the beginning. It's not one of the best of series, but it's definitely one of the most different. So let me just bring it up now on screen for you. All right, let me know. You got it?
I've got your face with your black-pink mask.
Oh, yeah. Wait. You should be able to just click on live, right? You got it there?
Load it up at the video, yeah. Watch.
Oh, yep. Oh, the video? Yep, okay. So you've got the video, right?
I've got your face. Do I have to hit watch stream? Oh, here we go, watch stream.
Yeah, you have to watch
stream. Beautiful. Newbie.
You got it?
Yep. I don't use Discord, so.
Here we go.
Apologies. Okay.
All right, here we go, play.
Subtitles. Where are the subtitles? I love the little burst and then stop for the story.
Yep.
And this is a guy that you said he trained for months leading up to this. Yep. He hadn't had any fight training before.
Well, he's been training like for like five movies. He's had so much experience. This actor too was also trained for the film. All actors on the series seem to go into an extensive training camp for these films. I think they really want their actors to do their own fighting.
Yeah, I think that's pretty common now. I think you just don't want to have to cut away to the stuntman.
Yeah, I think the only time they really use stuntmen is like really like hardcore like injuries or anything like that. All right, let me just get a spot. Oh, here we go. Wait, here's that. All right.
I love the color.
Yep.
Is that him coughing or you?
Nah, that's him.
How's the sound and the score?
Yeah.
That's what I'm fascinated by with the score, how much it actually makes you feel.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like all those motivational videos on YouTube. You bloody start watching them and it's a speech, but it's the music in the background that's making you cry.
remember if this guy gets up or not. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there we go, dude.
Yeah, nice, man. It's so different to a lot of other fight scenes, aren't it? Where there's just a lot of fluff and fancy stuff. That seems real.
Yeah.
Not that I'm an expert with weapons or anything, but that seems a lot more real. Kind of like how we're trying to design Wanderer, like in terms of all it takes is like a couple of strikes and you're done. That's not like a MMA fight.
One of the things that really stands out as being like really different from like the previous Kenshin films is that Kenshin, at the end of the day, it's an anime adaptation. So, you know, that one was like, it really harkened back to like what samurai fights used to be. So like the thing with samurai fights for me is that like if you watch like some of the old Kurosawa films, is that like it really does, like, you know, it doesn't surprise me that a lot of westerns have been inspired by samurai movies, because it really is kind of like a one draw kind of thing. Like that thing is so sharp that like all it takes is one hit. So it really felt like a cross between what I'd seen previously in the Kenshin films to like in the middle, you know what I mean? Like it was kind of like a mix between the two, like something really old school and something that was like from this new series. Because what made me really fall in love with the series was that, you know, the fight scenes had this kind of like fluid kind of like momentum to them. There was like a lot of like strikes, and like there really wasn't actually a lot of like pulling back and forth as you see in this fight. Basically, like it was just like this relentless like speed and like action, just constant. And so that's really like, I'd never seen anything like that in samurai fighting. And then this one came along and kind of like was really kind of like in the middle. And I think it's because like the film in itself was trying really hard to be like more like a drama and something that more like an actual like samurai film, as opposed to being like an anime adaptation. So I think they really took that on board with the action itself. And if you look at, yeah, even as he said, like with the music, like if you watch a lot of like Rurouni Kenshin like fight scenes, like a lot of the music is like very kind of like bombastic and just like very like intense, whereas this one had kind of like something kind of like beautiful about it. And it was like the slow building kind of like music, along with like this, like as you said before, like as he pointed out, like there was like this long wanna where like crosses between like one end of like of the stage of battle and like finishes on like the side of the stage as it like crosses like that lantern with like the blood on it. So like even just small things like that, like I'd never seen that before in like Rurouni Kenshin. And as I said, I don't think it's like the best fight of the series, but as far as just like evolution and just like taking your action in a whole nother direction with your film, I was like, wow, this is kind of like really cool.
Yeah, and I love the camera. Would you say before the fluidity?
I don't
think I could spit that word out. But just how smooth it was and crisp, like it was just subtle. And it was happy to pause in, or not pause in moments, but happy just to stay there in moments as well.
Yeah, linger a bit.
Yeah, linger. It didn't need a cut or anything, which is what I personally find quite jarring. Like, what was a movie? We talked about a movie recently where it was really jumpy. I can't remember. Probably shouldn't talk any shit about films, but
that's right. Wait, was it like a film that you'd seen or something?
Might have been Snake Eyes you were talking about when you saw that.
Oh, yeah, Snake Eyes. So, strangely enough, Snake Eyes, the same action director, he was the second unit director. He's actually directing the Kenshin films, actually. So, that's why I was so excited for Snake Eyes.
That's ringing a bell now.
At the end of the day, like, it is what it is, man. Like, I think I don't blame him, because if you actually watch Snake Eyes, the choreography is actually pretty cool. The first fight of Snake Eyes is like this like street fight. And look, there is a lot of cutting, because at the end of the day, I don't think they gave the actors probably not as much time to train as they did on Kenshin. I'm just assuming here. But there was also other things, like Snake Eyes had a very aggressive, handheld, shaky cam kind of like approach, like the whole film. And when you're a second unit director, you have to kind of like make your action scenes like match the rest of the film. So I'm not blaming my boy Ken. His name is Kenji. I'm not blaming him for like anything, but you know, it is what it is, man. It's just like, you know, Hollywood would just like, you know, tuck talented Asian action directors, because you know the director of like Kenshin, like the action director of Kenshin, like came from Hong Kong. Like he's like one of Donnie Yen's boys. Like Donnie Yen like entrusts like a lot of the action scenes to him now. He's like that fucking good. So you know, that's why I think like he can tackle anything. And like if we're talking like, as you said, like the fluidity of the camera here, if you actually watch like the rest of the Kenshin films, there's a lot of like handheld in it, and but it's not like bad handheld, it's still like, it's like very like kinetic, whereas this one just had like, yeah, as he said, that kind of like smooth motion. That's where, like, I thought it, like, brought it back, so it's kind of, like, way more, like, old school kind of, like, feel to it.
Yeah, was it on a dolly, do you think, or just a, like, a Steadicam or whatever they're called?
It was probably a gimbal, because I've seen them use, like, Movies set, like, on other, yeah.
What's that thing that people have on their, it's wrapped up to, like, their waist, and then it comes over their shoulder, and it's
That's an easy rig. I've really wanted to get one. I've heard, like, mixed, like, for, I don't think it's going to help me in terms of, like, stabilizing my shots, because I've heard, like, even the, like, it's not a steady cam, but it's definitely going to, like, make me feel a bit less fatigued.
Yeah, for sure. But even on set, though, you see the assistants coming up and quickly taking them off them as well. So,
yeah,
it would still get fatiguing if you're shooting 8 to sort of 16-hour days, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Just like we did on Fracture, dude. Like, the shoulder rig ain't light, you know. Yeah.
And a quick note before as well, like, with the, in terms of the choreography or, like, the cinematography, like, all it takes is, like, one to be a little off, doesn't it? And then the whole thing can be thrown. So, like, you can have amazing cinematography that saves the poor action design or the editing or whatnot. The choreography that can kind of be saved. Vice versa. Did I say it right? It's late.
Well, I always seem to find that with action scenes, I'm not too bothered about, like, something looking pretty. Because that ultimately, like, man, if your choreography is good, like, man, like, you can have the most flat lighting, but, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, your choreography is gonna, like, save you. So, like, if you think about, like, because, like, a lot of action scenes have, like, really flat lighting. If you think about, like, ideally you want your lighting to come, like, from above, so then you don't have to worry about any, like, shadows and stuff, and you can really just, like, move your camera around. And, like, even, like, when I watch, like, old Jackie Chan movies and old, like, Hong Kong movies, like, the lighting isn't anything like, oh my god, that's, like, amazing, right? Like, you're really just caring about, like, how the editing's going and how, like, the choreography is kind of going.
So, yeah, and you're sucked into Jackie so many times as well, like, you're just too busy looking at him and his reactions and his character. I think you tend to forget a lot about that, don't you, unless you're really studying it and breaking it down.
Well, even just, like, not even just Jackie. I mean, like, even, like, any, like, Hong Kong movies from, like, back in the day, like, a lot of, like, Donnie's kind of, like, old stuff as well. Like, it's, like, you know, it's, like, how can we, like, not worry about, like, you know, like, because, you know, like, if you can't place a camera somewhere for, like, the action scene, because, like, I don't know, like, there's a shadow casting from, like, light and whatnot, like, you're just, like, ah, shit. Like, ideally, you just want to, like, in terms of, like, being able to, like, shoot fast. I think that's something that Scott Adkins kind of, like, broke down with, like, I think Accident Man. He was talking about, like, trying to, like, make sure his lighting could come from above or just, like, be as, like, broad as possible, so, like, there wouldn't be any moments where, like, you know, they'd cast, like, a shadow on an actor or something with, like, the camera moving past it.
Yeah, he's such an underrated dude, isn't he? Like, even there's a lot of things that he talks about, how, like, he writes a lot of stuff, produces, rocks up on the day, designs the fights, shoots the fights. Like, usually he's trying to work with the cinematographers to help them to help capture their fights, or the way he designs things better as well. Like, I think everyone just sees him as a martial artist, as an actor, but he's got so many titles that he probably doesn't get a full credit for.
Yeah, he's more of like for people who, like, really love action cinema, like, they're the ones who really kind of, like,
appreciate him. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because generally speaking, when I bring up Scott Adkins, I'm just like, no one knows who the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, they will though, man. Like, once John Wick 4 and all that comes out, man, he's just like, I was saying to someone the other day, like, I think a lot of actors, remember, like, when Arnie was really making it, he was kind of in his 40s, and, like, The Rock, he's huge in his 40s and all that. Like, and Scott Adkins, what, 44? For, like, a martial artist, it's sort of getting on with the banged up body and that. But in terms of sort of just breaking into Hollywood now, like, John Wick 4, this could be off to the races for him. And at least in the full, I can't even remember what I'm trying to say, the bloody, in terms of, like, world popularity kind of thing. Into the ether.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I've got 10 minutes left before my camera's going to shut off.
Let's get to this Hollywood rundown. Let me. All right, I'll share on mine. This rundown.
The stream has ended.
No. I've got. Here we go. Click on that one.
Here we go.
All right.
So keep in mind, I was maybe 11 when I first saw this.
Oh, yep. I haven't seen it since that time, actually. I've only seen this one once.
AC/DC and Missy Elliott in the background.
Matt Miller, you got two choices. Option A, you give me the ring. Option B,
I make you
give me the ring. I'll take B.
Wrong choice.
I love how you know all the lines.
Get your frick on. I was running to this song the other day. And he doesn't like guns. That's what I love. Like how we talk about like the drooling dog and all that. How you Chekhov's gun, you start teasing it. He throws the guns away. Get ready for it. Rock bottom. That's his wrestling move, mate, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
He didn't go to his belly, though, like he does in the ring. Would have hurt there. I love the loud sound effects as well here, like that crunch of the knee.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have snapped his leg, but bloody the sound effects.
Bro, it's like me, like the sound effects off. Like, it feels like they're off sync, but mine just be me.
Oh, it's bloody 20 years old. I think it's coming through my headphones a little bit different as well. Could be that. This was one of Pete Berg's first films as well as a director.
Yeah.
I rewatched it again last week with my wife. It was fucking awesome. There goes my first F word. I was trying not to swear the whole time.
That's fine, dude.
Look
just
at
bleep
that
it.
Slow motion. Brilliant. A lot of people believe this is his best film ever, like his best acting.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, a lot of people hold this film highly.
Back. I love you. Like, what is it, 6'4", 220, and he was like 260 at the time.
Okay, interesting.
Nice, man. Yeah, so I watched that. What did it come out? 2003, so I would have been 12 or younger. I just freaking loved it. Like, I loved The Rock. I was obsessed with The Rock since like 1999 or 2000 when I first started watching wrestling. He was just the man. Then Sean William Scott, he was coming off of all the American Pie films
American Pie.
And I loved all those film mans. American Pies, they were great. Yep. So probably too young to be watching them, but he was good.
No, same here. No, I was watching it like even before I knew like all the references to like sex and all that kind of
like
shit.
Warm
I
think apple it was pie. Like,
just
what do you do with the apple
character
pie?
It was like crude and horrible.
Yeah. but for him to get into the action after that, I was like, this kid's off on a roll. Even at that young age, you start getting excited, because that was when Ryan Reynolds, I remember at the time, do you remember the film Ride Along with Ice Cube and Kevin Hart?
Yeah.
That was going to come out back in 2000, or not come out, but it was going to get made in the sort of mid-2000s with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. And I was geeking out. I used to read all the news and all that about it then, and I was getting so excited and just kept getting pushed off, and then all of a sudden it just wasn't getting made. So when Ride Along with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube came out, it was like a little reminder. I loved everything about it. I love it. It's obviously not a martial arts sort of...
Not like a martial arts fight scene. Are you talking about the scene here or just the film in general?
The fight scene. Like, it's not a... it's not a huge sort of technical fight. It was just sort of big bruises battling it out, big heavyweights. But I think just the music and everything in the background, the sound effects being up loud, I thought it was all really cool. And just The Rock being a badass. Because before that as well, he gets champagne thrown in his face, a couple of glasses and all that. And he goes into the bathroom and he calls up his boss. He's like, I don't want to hurt them. They're in the tryouts or they're coming out of camp or whatever. It's like, I don't want to hurt them. Then he's basically like, you do what you got to do. And he goes and just kicks their ass. And it's like, awesome. And then he goes outside and gets hit with beanbags with the gun. I just love it, man. Like, I love The Rock Bottom, especially because he does that again in Fast 6, doesn't he, with Statham through a table?
Seven.
Sorry. I was actually going to bring that scene. That'll probably be the one we do next. I'll do all the Rock's ones. I love everything. The whole film as well. I've got the poster behind me.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's a bummer I couldn't get that one on the walls behind me. I would have loved that one behind every podcast we do.
I love
the action adventure genre is definitely the area I want to go in. I love the comedy, I love just action, and I love adventure. So I think those sort of three blended into one. Most action, like I watched National Treasure 2 the other day and freaking loved it. I know a lot of people don't like it, but all those sort of films. I'm definitely a bit more Hollywood sort of popcorn film dude. So I think this is where it's a good blend between you and I.
Because you're not going to like what I have to say about the fight we just watched. But
we're going to end it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for...
We've definitely come a long way. Basically, all I'm going to say is if you compare the club scene That was a club scene. If you compare that to, like, I don't know, something like John Wick, you know. All I'm going to say is I don't think it was a great idea to have, like, full, like, epileptic kind of, like, lighting happening, like, strobe lighting happening, and have a whole lot of fucking, like, over-editing with your action. I don't know if that was the right move. But I will say one thing, like, a few things that come to mind about that fight was, you know, I really did like the fact that they just left that, like, what'd you call it? Like, the rock bottom move?
Yeah.
They left that as, like, one shot. That was really cool. And, like, there was a really good moment where, like, they kind of, like, slowed down the edit for that moment when, like, he's about to get, like, hit. And then, like, he grabs the record thing.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah,
smashes him in the face with that. Like, instead of, like, timing.
That would have been VFX when it, as it spun around that dude in the middle, most likely.
I assume that was, like, CG, yeah.
But, no, I completely agree with all that, man. Like, there's no. Yeah, that's not upsetting me at all. Like, obviously, it is one of my childhood things, so fuck you. I do completely agree. Like, it is a bit dated, but I think there's just that nostalgia. It's like people when they're obsessed with Star Wars and they go back and watch Star Wars, or they see the new ones and they kind of have blinkers on or blinders on,
yeah.
And they there's so much emotion invested into it that they don't even realize, or they do realize, and they just want to stand up for it. So that's fair enough. But I do agree. Yeah. Like, the John Wick stuff, just insane. But that's also me. Like, I do break down a lot of things, but also I just try and sit back and enjoy things as fans. I'm not that actor or filmmaker who.
Yeah, hard for me, dude. It's hard for me when it comes to, like, action and shit. Like.
Yeah, and you also have to shoot it. So if someone asks you to replicate something, you'd be like, okay, the lights are like this, the camera's like this. That's probably that sort of lens. You're thinking of the frame and everything, whereas I'm thinking about the audience and how I'm feeling in that moment. That's how I try and design a lot of my fights. As what are the audience going to see or feel in this moment? So that's how I try and look at things.
Like,
so,
generally speaking, like, an audience member is not going to, like, care about, like how, if something's, like, cleanly shot, unless it's, like, literally that fucking incomprehensible, which I don't actually think the rundown, like, what we just saw was, like, I could still tell what was happening.
And it still stands up, man. Like, if you watch, like I said, I watched the whole film the other day, and, like, there's so many good sequences in it, and it's still shot pretty well. Overall, from start to finish. I love it. Like, it is, like I said, there's definitely different ways to do things, different technology now as well. It's good. Hold on, dude. What are we at? We're at 28 minutes. We might quickly wrap it up there for the first episode.
Wrap it up there,
ladies
I'll
and gentlemen.
You wrap it up, because I'm not sure how I would.
you do it, dude.
No, go ahead. No, legit, I don't know how to wrap it up.
that's all good. I'm just winging this. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. If you enjoyed it, let us know and we'll keep making them. Hit subscribe on the YouTube channel or like the video or whatever. I'm sure that helps with the algorithms or what all the YouTubers talk about. I had a blast on this. It's good fun. And then once we get a good little system to make it a bit easier, it'll be great to start pumping them out every couple of days or a couple of week or whatnot. If you guys have any scenes that you guys love or like, or anyone you want us to bring on, we'll definitely start thinking about that in the next few weeks. But I should be looking at the camera, not at the lights next to it. But that's all good. Thank you. All right, James, what do you want to say, mate? Got 40 seconds.
No, we just ended there, bro. It's fine.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, see ya.